Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Health After 30 podcast. Today I have Greg Singleton on the show with me, and it's a very interesting topic that I want to talk about today because, as someone who preaches and practices holistic health, I believe there's three large bubbles that we need to take care of: our physical, our biochemical, nutritional, and toxic exposures, and then our mental health. And I feel like people can do the physical, they can do the nutritional, but our mental space is lacking. So I'm so grateful that you're here with me today. And we've already talked a little bit, and I'm already so excited. I'm like, tell me more. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I have followed some of the stuff that you've done, so I applaud every bit of what you're doing, because I do believe that those three bubbles that you just mentioned are easier aspects for people to tackle. And normally we reach for the lowest hanging fruit so we can grab those. But sometimes it's the most difficult aspects that get us over the hump that really gets the most progress to figure out where we want to be in life. So thank you. I'm 1,000,000%. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. I mean, and you are a specialist with mental health and well-being and wellness. Was this always something for you, or was it something that you were called for? Or how did you get there?
No, definitely not. I started a little over a decade ago. But really, I got thrust into this space because there was I had a divorce, and that divorce ended up being, it happened over probably about 45 minutes. And I went from waking up being married to asking, babe, is everything okay? To about 45 minutes later, her leaving the home saying she was working on it. And I got a phone call saying she was leaving. So that absolutely catastrophically destroyed every bit of what I had built, what I had thought, what I had known, and the mental construct and of how I operated in the everyday life was far more built in people pleasing and trying to make sure that those around me were happy, and just completely disregarding what it meant to value myself and how to correctly put together the pieces where you value who you are and your belief system can get built around it to finally get to a place that you can believe that whatever it is you need to get to or where you want to be in life, you can do it. But without the correct steps of getting there, it becomes very difficult. And most of my life, I lived a life that never allowed me to take those steps. So about a little over 10 years ago, a little over a decade, I began that journey. And ever since, and I've been working. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. You talk about, you know, you do all the things to please others, but in your scenario, it didn't even get you the outcome that you wanted.
It did not. Not even remotely close, because the outcome that I had thought I wanted was never defined by me. It was defined by the outside construct of, you need to get married, you need to have a house, you need to have kids, you need to have the career, you need to have, you know, the titles and all of those things I chased after. And I obtained all of them. And when they all came to a crashing halt, that was the catalyst that destroyed the illusion of the perfect life that I thought I was living.
Yeah.
And when you can finally get, and for me, that was my version of rock bottom, of deciding whether or not I even really wanted to be here, was thoughts that I had consistently. And that was really where I began to value, no, I'd rather struggle to get myself to where I need to be than to take an easy way out. But that was really the basis of figuring out how to value who you are.
Which I think is an important topic for everyone. And you don't need to be in a deep, dark hole to try to figure that out. I think that's something that a lot of people, it's not something that we learn necessarily. Yeah. Don't learn it in school. We're not really taught it. Perhaps you might have an enlightened parent, which, you know, shares these things with you, but it's not something that we just inherently have. No. And why don't we have that? Why is it not something that, is it like a self-protective mechanism that is protecting us from doing crazy things, following the herd or being a part of the tribe?
Correct. And a lot of that is definitely steeped from how we used to operate and how we do operate now. Because when you get ostracized or you get outside the bubble of what is acceptable, a lot of that used to mean way back in the day that it would be threatening to your life. Nowadays, the reason I think a lot of us struggle with this mental health aspect and figuring out what it means to be in a healthy space is you're going to go against the norm. And that is outside of what's socially accepted right now. So when you go outside of that, you're risking your own social acceptance in life. And most people would rather be socially accepted than mentally healthy in certain aspects. And there's a way that we need to marry those together for sure. And it starts by, you know, a simple one person at a time, which builds a ripple effect. And that ripple effect will eventually get to the same community that we have in, I mean, multiple different aspects of the way we operate in life with support groups and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, the evolution by one person at a time, changing the social construct. Are you then alluding to perhaps that we lead by example or that we seek help? Or what do you suggest?
I 1,000,000%, I subscribe and will always subscribe in every way that I operate every day is I will always lead by example. And the way that I can do that is you have to tackle your ego first. And your ego will always put yourself in your best interest, but it will take the absence of other people. So when you can start to realize that if you show up with the best that you can do in the moment that is presented to you, there is no other truth that's available. You can do that. Everyone can do that. That doesn't mean you're the greatest. It doesn't mean you're the smartest. It doesn't mean you're the best at anything. It just means that everything that you've been taught, learned, accepted, and implemented in your life, that's the best you can be right now. So show up, do the best that you possibly can. Do not expect the outcome to be something different. If you expect the outcome to be a certain thing, you then set yourself up for a 50-50 outcome. And that's terrible because it's either going to be success or failure or good or bad. Rather than coming from the construct of ideas of this is the best I can possibly offer, this is the best I can do.
Can and you then define, when you, can you define best?
Sure.
For me?
Absolutely. It is the culmination of every experience that you've ever had in your life that has taught you everything that you know now. That's the best that you can be. There's no other definition.
Yeah.
Because everything you've gone through, you see the world differently than I see the world. So your best is different than my best. But that doesn't mean that they're different. So how you've been able to... there is no comparison between them. But because your best is the culmination of every experience you've had in life, your best will shift daily. Your best will shift weekly. It's never going to be an obtainable goal that you're going to put on a shelf and, you know, have a trophy or anything like that. Your best is every day that you get up. And some days you're tired. And your best is 30%.
Before we started recording, Greg asked me, what was the question you asked me exactly?
How's life today?
Stop me in my tracks. I was like, I had a terrible night's sleep. And that's when it started, my today life. And that's exactly what it was. And the answer that I gave you is when you have a terrible night's sleep, your whole entire day is then somehow flawed.
Very much.
And then, you know, so I'm a mother. I've got kids. I see people in practice. I do the show. I have a lot of different moving parts going on. And when I already wake up behind the eight ball, I don't even have, you know, a lot of people, Instagram or the internet, even AI. You know, if I'm typing in something like, I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, you know, trying to get the kids out of the house and then having to get to work and then doing this and make that appointment. Just take some time for yourself. Take some deep breaths. I hear this all the time and not everyone has the capacity to do that yoga course, to take those times. And, you know, I will also hear, even if it's just 1 minute, like I can conceptualize that. And also being in the health space, I completely appreciate it. And I try to do it. I find it really hard. And I find self-care to be something. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to talk about it, as I told you, because I find it can be quite detrimental. It gets thrown around. If you're like most people who tune into the Health After 30 podcast, you know that good health and quality of life go hand in hand. It's beyond our lifespan, but rather our health span that we need to focus on. Aging naturally, longevity, getting into old age, and keeping up the things that we love should be a priority. Please meet Kimberly Rebecca. She's a naturopathic doctor who uses peptide bioregulators as well as a longevity protocol to help enhance energy, get that mental clarity good, and balance your hormones into old age. Please follow any of the links below to get in touch with her and don't miss a chance to work with her today. Like, we're supposed to be having hour-long baths with cucumbers on our eyes or something. That when I even think about that, that just makes me more stressed. Mm-hmm. How can we, for our mental health, for our physical health, for our overall health, how can we bring in a self-care? Or is it even called self-care? I don't even know. Maybe there's a different term for it. Or how can we support ourselves to show up better?
Absolutely. And again, the whole self-care term and all those kinds of things, you know, going to the spa and getting treatments and things like that, those are very temperamental and they are just, you know, they'll go by the wind and they'll come and go. Usually when I approach this with any of the clients that I have, I try to reshape the ideas of self-care by helping you understand what a value system is. And when you start to realize what a value is in your life is different than your beliefs in your life. Mm-hmm. So if I use an example of, if I value education and I value learning, that's something that I core value in my life. So once I realize that that is a value of mine, my beliefs start to get shaped around it. Meaning I believe that I can become educated and learn better by listening to this podcast. I believe that I can educate myself by going to take classes or reading a book or writing things or mm-hmm. listening to other mentors and things like that. But all of those beliefs surrounding it can shift and morph, but they always have to come back to your core value. So when you start to realize what a value is and different than a belief system, you have to realize that valuing yourself is where you need to be. And then your belief system on how you get there changes drastically. So when you value your own time, your own effort, your own calmness, your own focus, your own process, all of those things all come to a culmination of figuring out what you value. Mm. That's not the difference. It's the difference between self-care, which is how it's really used, and then really truly getting to the core of why it's so difficult for a lot of us to even approach this space, because many of us don't understand what we value in life.
Mm-hmm. And we'll often you feel, you know, like we're doing all the things. I'm trying to be organized and be here and be there. Mm-hmm. And we just end up overworked and overwhelmed and feeling that we're not appreciated.
Yes.
I'm doing all the things. I'm trying my best. Mm-hmm. My best isn't good enough. You know,
sure.
These senses of feelings. So how do we find our values? How do we highlight for someone who doesn't know what they value?
Sure. I work with this a lot in this aspect. And one of the things that I try to work with the clients is the definition of success to them. Because even the things that you just said, I'm trying to do the things I can. I'm doing all the things. I'm being organized. I'm showing up. I'm doing the things that I need to. Inside that is no one really sits and takes the time to define what success and failure are. So when you say I'm showing up and I'm doing all those things and I'm doing the things, why aren't these things working out? You aren't failing and you aren't succeeding. You're just doing something because you've never set the parameters to know that if I show up and I do this and I do my best, this is what I want. And if you want that and don't get it, then you have to look at the aspects of why you're doing it. So if you're doing something to get an outcome that benefits you and you don't get it, you're going to feel as though you failed. But you've never taken the time to understand what success and failure is. Mm. Because failure ceases to exist unless you can measure it against a success.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to define what it means to do the things that you're doing. So that once you start doing the process of saying, oh, I am doing the things. I am becoming organized. I am doing this. You're doing that because there's an underlying value of what mm-hmm. you're trying to get to. So you're still working at a surface level of doing the things, which are good, but you don't know why you're doing them.
Yeah, you're not at the core.
At the core.
Mm.
Because what you're doing, all those ancillary aspects, you're hoping shape your values.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. They never will. No matter, because now you're doing what people tell you to do or should do or how to operate in the world. And you're operating off of another person's external ideas and concepts about what will work for you. That's mm-hmm. why you get into conflict about all the things that you do and they just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sit down and say, okay, I value organization because mm-hmm. it helps me know that when I get up in the morning, I'm going to have lunches ready for the kids. I know I'm going to be on time. I know that I'm going to be able to get the work done. And I know that I'm going to be able to write down everything I need to do. That's when you can start to reshape what you value and why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very big difference between just doing an ancillary aspects and hoping it happens, and then truly defining why you're doing it.
So when you have your value and you understand why you have this value, and how that can reflects then on how you also see success. I'm gonna let that sit in for a bit, because I never really thought about that, to be honest. It's not something that I do all the things. It's exactly what you said. I'm doing all the things on the outside.
Yep. and that's honestly, you are not the only one. This is very common in most people, because we tend to separate aspects rather than building off of on top of really what the foundation of needs to get done. And that's really truly one of them. But it really does make you sit back and think once you start to actually implement it and you really think about the things that you're doing in your daily basis and whether or not they align with what you value, you start to shift slowly and you start to have things that come onto your list of to-do and they start making their way off.
Mm-hmm. So would you perhaps then say self-care is not about getting a massage, but rather just focusing on your core values and just working on those?
Correct.
Because that's what's going to fulfill you. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because the fulfillment will only come from a place of confidence.
Yeah.
And if you confidently know that what you value is this, there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, haphazardly going at things, hopefully something sticks on the wall.
Yeah.
And that's usually how a lot of us operate. I used to operate that way. I used to do it all the time. So with the recognition of coming from the side of doing that to now understanding what it takes to get there, it's a process for sure.
Mm-hmm. And how do you suggest people go about aligning this? Is it, and when you think about core values, because you can also have, you could have a lot of different things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a way or a method that you work with that kind of just brings it down to perhaps a certain number of core values that you align with?
Most of the time when I start talking about values, you can have multiple different values in your life, but a lot of the times the values are the things that usually are steadfast in how you choose to operate.
Okay. So like already pre-programmed kind of.
Yes. And you can add as you keep going, but you have to be able to understand who you are. Mm. Some people choose money as their value and they chase after money. And that's something that they truly do value. So their belief system and then how they operate will focus toward that.
Mm.
And but the change of money, you're still going to value it 30 years from now.
Mm.
You're still going to value it on your deathbed.
Yeah.
You might not have the same placement toward it, but you still value it.
Mm.
So
you said a really interesting thing just then to find out who you are. Do you know who you are?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, very much so.
I love that. How do you find out who you are?
I can tell you that probably the most important thing that's ever happened to me, and for all the women out there that have children, I think it's probably the most important aspect that even if you take away anything from this podcast, that this would be it, is the well that you have to give love from to other people, whether that be children or family or friends, is the same exact well that you draw from to love yourself, because you can't give something you don't possess. So if you're capable of loving someone else, that's the same exact internal location that you can draw from to say, I can also love me.
Mm.
And when you get to that place of knowing that I love me, because what I value and what I do and what I get up every day to be is the best version of everything that's happened to me, in order to provide the best environment to help those I come in contact with without putting myself at a detriment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
important side note, without the detriment to yourself.
Huge, hugely important
that
you actually structure your life in the way that you operate, knowing that the boundaries that you set do not come in conflict with who you are.
Mm.
So a lot of the times, way back in the day, a long time ago, I used to have no boundaries, and my boundaries used to be, can I make you happy? How do I make you happy? Any which way, shape or form I can make you happy, how do I do that?
Mm.
And that's how I lost myself.
Mm.
Because that's where I end up feeling guilty about not being around people or guilty by not showing up to give you a ride, or not being there when you needed me most, or not showing up in the locations that all you guys were missing out. And that's where my guilt came from, was the residue of not having zero boundaries and not knowing even what it meant to be protecting myself and my own value and interest of who I really wanted to be.
I think that comes down to confidence. I think when you know, I mean, for me, when I hear that, I am similar. I also chronic past people pleaser, you know, and I know that feeling, and it's that feeling of guilt. But when you realize that you can kind of stand your ground and it's okay, and you're confident in your choice, and if that if someone else feels a certain way, that's not a reflection of me, but you know, it's nothing to do with me, although I might've been the instigator of what happened. It's bigger than, than that. That's so freeing.
It's huge. And a lot of that, again, will come back to what you value in life, which is when you choose to value yourself, you'll build the correct boundaries and the correct belief system and the correct confidence to be able to get to where you need to be.
I love what you're talking about because I find it really empowering. And when I hear stuff like this, I'm like, yes, I am writing my values. I'm setting my boundaries. Mm-hmm. But what I find, and I think this will often happen when anxiety comes in, when a stressful situation comes, when the mental overload gets a bit much, the day-to-day of actually doing it, practicing these things, showing up, you know, remembering even can become really difficult. So how can we even, I guess, do it on the day-to-day? Is there ways to kind of bring this in? Is there a practice that you have that brings this into the day-to-day? Because otherwise, you know, something stressful happens and then bam, you know, all your good intentions out the window.
Absolutely. That used to happen. I used to get hit by that truck often. and I will tell you that probably the most important thing is your morning structure for me. That's what I would tell everyone to begin with. because when I get up in the morning, I choose to meditate. And what that meditation process does for me, and that's a key word. Everyone hears it. Everyone, you know, has an idea and concept of really what it is. But to remove the stigmatism of really what meditation is for you is a check-in to see what you need in life. So when you sit down and you try to meditate and you can't because your brain is moving too quickly, that's the indicator that you need to slow down today. You don't get to make big decisions. You don't get to do big, giant things because your brain is too quick today. And in that moment, you're not going to make clear, concise decisions. And if you sit down in the morning and you give yourself 10 minutes and you say, okay, before I do anything, I'm just going to go. Because when you breathe in, you're activating your sympathetic nervous system, which is activating your fight or flight. And when you breathe out, your longer exhales actually increase the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest, relaxation, and digestion. So that trigger, even just breathing aspects, which come along with meditation, prep your body for how you're going to be in the day. So don't look at meditation as clearing your mind, making sure that you think of nothing and only breathing and only checking in. There's a massive amounts of different types of meditation you can do. But I choose meditation because it allows me to check in with myself.
Yeah. Ask yourself, how are you going today? What do you need today?
That's it. And when you sit and you close your eyes and you don't have to do think of nothing, think of nothing, think of nothing, think of nothing. It just stresses you out. But if you sit and things start coming into your mind and you start going, oh my God, I need to do this, 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 and this.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a lot going on. And that's okay. And that's fine. But now you have a recognition of what your day is going to be like. It's going to be fast paced.
Yeah. And rather than prepared for that as well.
And you now you're prepared for knowing that going into the day, okay, I'm quick today. So a lot of my decisions are going to be quick and they're going to be fast. I'll try to be a little more cognizant and see if I can slow down a little bit. So that's how I would choose to start your day. And I use the word meditation because it's huge and everyone thinks about it, hears about it. But shift your concept and construct of what meditation means to you. It's a check-in with what you need in that day with yourself. It's not about, you know, getting to emptiness. It can be if you choose it to be, but it's also the ability to make sure you know what you need.
I really like that. I really, really like that. I like how you just reframe something, which made me think along the lines of when you're in a rut, when you're stuck, you're kind of, I find narrative is a very important tool to get out of any said rut.
Agreed.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here, Greg.
You're so welcome. I appreciate everything. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
The information provided in the Health After 30 podcast is for general information purposes only and should not be considered as medical advice. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or health condition. Always consult with your qualified healthcare professional before making any decisions related to your health or before starting a new treatment or health regime. Thanks so much for being here. You could have been listening to anything, but you're here interested in reclaiming your health. I hope you found the episode useful and constructive. If you enjoyed it and would like to show support for the show, please leave a review as this makes my content more discoverable for other people to enjoy and learn from. Please also consider subscribing to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Finally, the best way to show support for the show is by sharing it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Thanks for listening. Be well, and I'll catch you next time.